Hello everyone, this is Asclepius with Echoes from the Caverns. Newscast dated May 4, 2018. Echoes from the Caverns is distributed by Sir Style Tekel and is a joint podcast project created and run by Lord Baldrith and Asclepius. The background music is by Stephen J. Goldman. Well, it looks like I'm on my own this week. I'm not sure what's happened to Lord Baldrith. I hope he's doing fine. But I'll have to give him a pass on this one because I was AWOL last week. Actually, last week, and I had a lot of fun. I went to a supernova convention, which was held in the glorious Gold Coast. So, a beautiful part of Australia, just a little bit southeast of Brisbane, Queensland. Lovely beaches, lovely climate, nice people. And yeah, a bit of a plane trip away, but I thought, what the heck? I hadn't been to one of these before, so I thought I'd go and check it out. And more importantly, meet a few of the wonderful people who play this game, which I was looking forward to. So, rushed off from work a bit early on Friday, caught the plane out, got there Friday night, spent Saturday and Sunday there, and a bit of a late trip home Sunday night. And here we were, back to work again. It was a fascinating convention, loved it. I could not believe the number of people who dressed up in their cosplay. Very imaginative. People must have taken hours and spent heaps of money on their costumes. They did look really good, and it was fascinating to mingle with them all, walk around the displays and see what they had. You could drive yourself mad getting all the souvenirs, memorabilia and stuff, artifacts from almost every superhero, TV, comic book, whatever imaginable. It was all there. And of course, if you wanted to splash out with a bit of extra cash, you could get signatures and or selfies with your favourite actors, actresses, what have you. Peter Capaldi was there, and Tom Welling, and a number of others. So yeah, if you wanted to rub shoulders, figuratively speaking, with some of your favourite people, that's the place to do it. Okay. And, of course, as I said, part of the attraction was to meet up with some fellow Shroudies. And we did manage to get a reasonable contingent there. Met up with Woftum, great guy, and thanks to Woftum for helping to organise all of this. We had dinner Saturday night at a great ribs and rumps place. And yeah, nice food there too. And around the table, there was, well, myself of course, Woftum, Wench, Tidda Oceana, Denied, Hylax, Peebo, Scooby-Doo, and all the way from the States, I thank them very, very much for coming to join us, were Eclipse Maiden and Justine, the Deco Divas. It was lovely to meet you ladies as well, and thanks so much for making the trip. That was absolutely awesome. Had a wonderful time getting together, and hope to see you all again someday. I did take a little bit of video at the dinner in the hope that we'd be able to share it with people and show what a good time we had. I do have to say, unfortunately, that the lighting at the back of the restaurant where we were was absolutely awful. And not only that, trying to record in a crowded, noisy restaurant, you could barely hear what anybody was saying. So, regretfully, I'm a bit of a perfectionist and a little bit OCD, just in case you hadn't guessed. So if it's not good enough, I'm sorry, I'm not going to put it up. But yeah, look, it was fun to get together and meet everybody and had an absolutely wonderful time. So that's where I was last weekend. But in the meantime, between now and the last couple of weeks when I reported last. I've managed to be in the game for a while, and pleased to report that I got my Shroud of the Avatar back. It's been a little bit of a journey. Actually, it was a lot faster than last time, because firstly, I'd done it before, so I basically knew where to go. Although I do have to say that I'm probably getting a bit older, and some of the scenes, when I came back to them, totally forgotten what I had to do. And that tends to help you to die a few times if you're jumping and doing the wrong things and going in the wrong places. But, you know, after you've died a few times, you eventually work it out. So, got the Shroud back. That was a wonderful experience. And everybody should do it. Absolutely. It is a really, really good quest, or selection, a sequence of quests. And I think the reward is fantastic. And not only that, the Shroud that they give you now has buffs on it. So it gives you increases in your stats, which is a great idea. I don't know how they work it out. I have no idea. I have heard via the forums that the buffs actually differ according to your rating or according to how you went. If the Oracle was happy with you or just gave you a bit of a, okay, I guess you'll be all right. Or, you know, you're a total, absolute reprobate. Yeah, I think the what you're given differs. So I have no idea how they work it, but to me, it looked as if they took a look at my character and my build and said, yeah, what would this guy like? Okay, let's give him that, that, and that, and that. And I thought, whoa, yeah, thank you very much. That was fantastic. So, yeah, I was very happy to get that. Alrighty, now last weekend, as you will have noticed, I missed half of the excitement, well, most of the excitement when I was away. Release number 53 launched to a bit of a fanfare and a lot of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth because it was a bit broken. And I think everybody is aware of that. I think the devs were painfully aware of that. I get the feeling that I know sort of what happened. I mean, I don't know what they do in the back rooms, but I do know that they had a stress test in the QA server. They wanted to see if they could solve one or two problems. And some of the problems seemed to be that if they had a number of people in one place, and someone cast an area of effect spell, like Elysian Illumination or something like that, it would slow everybody down and it would cause a lot of lag. And so they said, well, if we can get more than 50 people in one place at one time, then you can all have double experience for a week. And, well, you tell this community something and they respond in droves. They had over 300, and they had to rent extra space on the server. They had to make three instances, and that was a crashing success. And that was good. They went away delirious because they thought, yeah, that's fantastic. We have found the problem. We know why these area of effect spells or whatever are causing problems. So they went away, tapped away on their keyboards and dished it up and said, here you go, release 53, it's fantastic. And then people started to realise that evidently what they'd done affected a whole lot of other things. Like the musical instruments that were supposed to give you buffs didn't. And a number of area of effect spells that were actually good didn't work, and I think there were a few other tiny little issues that, you know, people got a bit upset about. But the upside of all this was that they scrambled very hard to try to get to the bottom of it and fix it, which is, you know, it's almost the normal situation after a release. There are inevitably a few bugs, and they scramble around to fix them, and by the second or third or fourth patch, it's usually pretty good. Yes, this was a bit more of a train wreck than usual, but I'm happy to say that everything looks as if it's right way up again. So that's fantastic. Full marks to them. They got it all right in the end. And not only that, the 1 week of double experience became translated to 2 weeks, which, hey, you can't argue with that. So that's fantastic. So we've got 2 weeks of double experience just to make up for the inconvenience. And yeah, I reckon that's a pretty good gesture on the part of the devs. So we are rolling in the experience, and it should do us all some good. So fantastic. Alrighty, that's the preliminary rambling. In the meantime, or next, we have another news update, which is number 278, entitled The Making of West End. Right, okay. So, a lot of news this week, a lot of good stuff happening, and we have, as usual, we have game development, we have news announcements, yeah, lots of news announcements, and community updates. Yeah, brilliant. Okay, first item in the news is, under game development, we have The Making of West End. Now, the town of West End, have you ever been there? I don't know that I have. Actually, I think I might have, because I had to go there to do something. You know, it's wonderful that they are doing things, putting in initiatives and little challenges to make us go from one corner of the world to the other. Don't just stay in your own little corner. There are rewards and there are initiatives. And this is a total tangent, by the way. I'm just going off on a bit of a ramble. There are coming in lots more rewards, initiatives, and things to make the game interesting. And I just happened by chance to be talking to one of the people who guard and look after the shrines. And yeah, he made a comment, and suddenly I've got a little quest, and it says talk to all the shrine holders. Oh yeah, okay, cool. And it appears now that there are a number of towns which are dedicated to these particular virtues. These are the NPC towns. They're not player-owned towns, they're NPC towns. And for example, Exeter is dedicated to the virtue of honour. You will find a shrine of honour in the town. You can go there, you can meditate at it, you can jump in the pool and get yourself a blessing, that's great. If you talk to the attendant and offer to help, now he will tell you that, okay, you're aware of these sieges that are happening, and apparently the Kabbalist, who is the anti-virtue of honour, is Dolus. And if you can manage to vanquish Dolus and come back and tell him, he'd love to hear about it. And that makes me think you must get a reward for that. So they're making travel more interesting, they're making questing more interesting. There are, well, however many shrines there are, 8, 10, 12... I've forgotten just at this moment. But there are that many towns, and the shrine holders will tell you where they all are. Just wander around the map and talk to them all. And you will be given the opportunity to defeat any and all of these Kabbalists. I mean, at the moment, with my state of development, it's a case of, oh yeah, you'd be lucky, mate. I have managed to knock over one or two of them, and that was really hard work. They are very, very, very difficult. But, you know, there you go. There is a reward for doing it now. And not only that, but I found myself in a siege the other day coming back home, and, but, okay, you know, just knocked over a few people just on my way back, knocked over an engineer or two, and they had this substance, this little vial called arcane substance, whatever. I said, okay, that's interesting. And got the message that I should take it back to one of the scouts. So I did. And apparently, if you give 6 of those to a scout, you'll get a reward. So, oh, great. I went and knocked off another 5 engineers. They all had one. And took it back to the scout. Got 6,000 experience for it. I thought, that is absolutely awesome. Now, this is when double XP is running, so you'd probably get 3,000 under normal circumstances. But that's nothing to sneeze at. So there you go. Sieges are very much more worth doing. So that's great. Okay, back to West End. I think I went there to look at a shroud, to look at a shrine. Okay, it's located in Verdantis on the western coast of Novia. The combination of Norgard architecture and wetlands creates a unique visual element to the town, not seen anywhere else in Novia. It's the port that serves adventurers travelling to Verdantis Shardfall, and while the town remains small, it has grown prosperous from trade because of the resources brought back by those lucky enough to survive the Shardfall. Of course, many say those resources came off the bodies of dead adventurers. Well, maybe they did. And if the adventurers are dead, nobody's going to argue, are they? All right. So this is a post by Sorceress Steve. He says, hi, Sorceress Steve here to give you a sneak peek at the uncloning of West End. As we said, located in the western end of Verdantis, close proximity to Verdantis Shardfall. Alongside this, it is in close proximity to Norgard. So for this particular uncloning, we decided to bring in our Viking-style architecture and improve the theme of the area as a coastal swamp biome. The NPC centre and cluster of shops in the heart of town have now received a major makeover with multi-level platforms that rise above the swamp, alongside the addition of bringing in village-themed architecture, furniture, and additional propping. There's a few lovely screenshots here in the news release. And yes, it does look very, very nice. Yeah, very nice Viking theme. That's fantastic. And the docks look beautiful. They look busy. And yeah, the town just looks that little bit different, which is really nice. So we've got the docks there. And as they say, dragon heads and nicely manicured wooden walkways make up the central area of West End. Lovely. Very nice. And you've got the alleyways there. Merchants are putting up shop in these alleyways leading to the docks. You'll probably find a lot of merchants there with everything you want to buy. There's a shot of the eastern entrance of the town. As part of the makeover to West End, a new foliage and texture palette has been brought in to make the area look more swamp-like. So, another interesting place to visit. Good excuse to keep on wandering around the map, so that's fantastic. And as he says, stay tuned for more shots of West End. Right, next item. The R52 Livestream Obsidian Order items. Well, production on these items continues. This week, we reposted the Obsidian Order Throne and added the Obsidian Order Mage Robe. Now, we're using the term Obsidian Order versus just Obsidian to better differentiate these items from items crafted from the Obsidian resource. Okay, if you get some Obsidian chips somewhere, and you manage to go down to the Obsidian Forge in the way down the bottom of Hilt, and trust me, that's not a fun experience, and you manage to craft something, okay, that's Obsidian. Right, you can make yourself Obsidian armor you can probably make yourself obsidian weapons if you can hang around long enough to avoid getting killed. Okay, that's a little bit different. These are robes and armor of the Obsidian Order. Okay, and a beautiful picture here of the Obsidian Order mage robe. A lot of people who play mages, and I think including Lord Baldrith, have been agitating for mage robes for a long, long time. And here we are. We have something that looks pretty special. Now, whether or not people will want to walk around with a dark, mysterious, somewhat forbidding mage robe like this with the Obsidian Order symbol on it, I don't know. But it looks very nice. It really does. Fletcher Kinnear created this by imagining what the robes of the Obsidian Cabalists might have looked like before they became corrupted. Okay, and that is very, very nice. The next picture here is one of the Obsidian Order throne. Scotty Jones originally built it for the Chamber of Souls underneath Desolus. You can also see it in the Lost Vale. Yeah, that's a pretty impressive looking throne. Not the most comfortable throne, I guess. A cushion on that would be nice, wouldn't it? Especially if you're going to sit there for a long time. But it's a very, very sturdy throne. You would not be knocking that one down very easily at all. Okay, and continuing with heraldry items. We continue to expand the number of items you can use to show off your heraldry. This week, added a heraldry chest and heraldry brewing casks. Aha! Brewing is coming, people! We can get drunk. Very nice. Players continue to post pics of their heraldry in the thread they started a few weeks ago. The results continue to be amazing. And also, they've started a new thread to help players with creation of heraldry. And they've got a few pictures here that players have sent in. And they do look rather nice. It's going to be so much fun, so much pleasure to see people walking around with their own heraldry on or covering their armour. Very, very nice indeed. Yeah, they are going to look very sweet. Right. And there's a heraldry chest. Wow. Michael Hutchison, or Hutch, created this beautiful chest out of the finest Innovian Elm Burl. That does look sweet. I love the pattern in that wood. It's lavishly adorned with gold leaf hardware, proudly emblazoned with your own unique crest. Okay, I think I'll be rushing to get a few of those. That looks rather nice. Okay, and not only but also, as I just mentioned, we have brewing casks. Brewing is coming in quarter two, and Michael Hutchison has created a suite of casks for beer, wine and spirits, including versions that you can apply heraldry to. Nice, that is lovely. And there you go, a wonderful picture there of a beer cask with a tap there just waiting to be turned on, yeah. And a wine cask with a nice little illustration of a wine glass on the side of it, and a spirits cask. Very, very nice indeed. I think there might just be a market for those. Lovely. Now, I wonder if they're going to bring back the feature that they had pretty early in the piece. When you had a drink or two, the screen sort of got blurry and wobbled a bit. And if you drank enough, you actually fell down. I would like to see that come back. That'd be fun. It really, really would. Maybe they're waiting until they bring alcohol and brewing back in the game. And we might find that not only is the drink there, but the effects of the drink are there. So that'd be interesting. Okay, next item, the double XP final week for release 53. As I sort of mentioned earlier, they had an incredible turnout for this stress test that they did. And because of that, and because of a few other things, I think, there will be double XP, adventuring and quests, for week 1 and 2. And that's extended from the original plan of 1 week only of release 53. So yes, Star says, we had to increase our server license on the QA server. There were so many people, 330 plus at one point in 3 instances. And we also finally found and fixed the AOE issue that has been troubling everyone for so long, which was, as I said, casting Elysian illumination in crowded scenes, slowing the frame rate. I think some people said they were getting 3 frames per second, which, yeah, it's not a lot of fun when it drops down to that. So yes, they fixed that. And yes, they messed a lot of other things up in the process. And yes, they fixed them. And yes, we've got extra XP out of it. So yeah, it's all good in the end. All right. Next item, we have the store credits exchange to gold crowns. Mentioned this a few times, but I think they just want to make sure that absolutely everybody knows about it. This is happening on the 7th of May. To reiterate, this is again from a post by Darkstar. When we first began our crowdfunding campaign, we created store credits to help facilitate the ability for players to purchase and store funds for future spending. I think this came in handy for a lot of people. If you could only put a dollar or two or a few aside a week or whatever, you could buy some store credits. It's just like putting something on lay-by. And you can just drop in a few dollars every week, and before you know it, your total has built up and you can afford that house or land or deed or whatever that you wanted. And that was really good. Okay, but he says, as we've moved out of the crowdfunding and early access phase and into commercial sales, we have to review and revise several of our monetary policies. One of those that went into effect recently was our legal obligation to charge taxes for specific territories. Another of these is store credits, which are not compatible with international banking laws for specific territories. Some people just don't allow it. Okay, our goal is to provide high quality, fair, and whenever possible, consistent service to all our global customers. Therefore, we've made the decision to phase out store credits worldwide, rather than just removing them in some territories while keeping them in others, like the US. That would create a lot of friction and resentment, I think. If other people had access to something that you didn't just because you lived in the wrong part of the world. And unfortunately, that's the rules. Governments do strange things. And you just have to find a way to live with it. And now that it's a worldwide game and it's released and you're dealing with jurisdictions all over the world, you have to find a way to operate. Okay. He says, we don't want anyone to lose any value in this process, so we're going to do an equal value exchange of all store credits and coupons worldwide to gold crowns on Monday, May the 7th. Whatever the amount of store credits you might have had at that time and date, you'll get the best and closest exchange rate. They'll do their best that they can for you. For example, if you've got $100 in store credit, you'll get 115 crowns, and you can use them just the same to buy stuff. This will affect all Port Illyrium, Travian and Black Sun customers. Note that we're investigating the possibility of adding the ability to spend gold crowns on the website. But in the meantime, you can spend them in-game at any of our many gold crown merchants. The only painful thing is you have to run around to find which merchant in which town sells the thing you want. That's a little bit of a pain at the moment, I think. Alright, additionally, we're going to be adding bundles to the in-game crown merchants in the next couple of releases. although without the ability to upgrade. Alright, so we're going to be talking gold crowns. Right, now, next item, there's a NPC submission request for Central Brittany. Right. Earlier this week, Scott Jennings, aka Lum, posted our latest request for NPC submissions. This is for Dev Plus level backers who are eligible for the design and NPC reward. Okay. And for reference, well, okay, there's a list of towns here that they have done, and trust me, the list is getting a lot longer. And it's pretty impressive, actually. So there's a large list of towns that they have done. In progress now, we have Central Brittany, which, as you can imagine, is a pretty big town. And still on the to-do list, there's also a fair number of towns. So it's not done by any means. So there's still plenty of opportunity to get your NPC in. Now, this is from a post by Scott Jennings. He says, "Thank you for your continuing support of Shroud of the Avatar. This month, we're seeking entries for what many of you have been waiting for, the very center of Novia, and home to Lady Arabella and the Oracle, the central district of the Jewel of New Britannia, Brittany. Because of Brittany's size, this will be the only area we're adding backer NPCs to for this release." So, big town. A lot of NPCs. That's the only one they're concentrating on this release. So if you don't want your backer NPC to be in Central Brittany, that's fine. Just wait. There's more cities to come. Great. Okay, now, brief note. Brittany's got many NPCs that aren't unique. So the NPCs already in the game, we can change appearance to a degree, gender, etc. to suit your request. If you want to pick a specific NPC, like the one just down the road and around the corner from your place, that's fine, they might be able to do that, but they might not. Okay. Also, visual customization, they do mention this. It's not very far along yet, they can't do very much. Apart from the standard gallery of NPC models, that's all they've got at the moment. Hey, but we frequently add to that. The pool's doubled over the last 6 months. So if you want to have input over the visual customization, you can wait for further releases. That's fine. Also, we will allow a one-time visual recustomization once it's been added. If you want to put an NPC in now and then give them a makeover later, you can do that. You can only do it once. It's like resetting your quests. You can do it once. Okay. There are many NPCs within Brittany's walls. We'll be accepting submissions on a first-come, first-served basis. If you're an NPC plus... if you're a developer plus tier backer, you're welcome to submit an NPC of your own design. But people who haven't put in an application yet, the first-timers, they will take priority. If your NPC doesn't appear in Central Brittany, that's fine. You can feel free to try again next time. We've got quite a few towns and cities still left to go. Now, when responding, please list a first and second choice for profession, obviously. Due to the huge number, the amount of custom dialogue we can and will by necessity be limited. Now, I don't know whether that reflects the sheer amount of work that Lum is going to have to do entering code, or whether that's going to mess up the total loading that comes in when you enter the town. Obviously, when you enter a town, the town has to load, and the more stuff they have in the town, the more that has to load in, and that could take longer. I don't know whether the NPC's conversations actually figure in that at all, or whether it's just the sheer amount of work that poor old Lum or somebody is going to have to do typing it all in for dozens of NPCs. So, yeah, they're not going to have very long stories to tell. Okay. If you want a specific custom dialogue, it'd help greatly if you could submit it in the form of a keyword that triggers a response, and then the response desired, so we'd have a better idea of how you'd like that NPC implemented. So that'd be a good idea. Just put in some keywords and then what that keyword leads to. If you can draft a bit of a summary, that'd be great. Okay, we reserve the right to edit or change any dialogue or not use it if we feel it's inappropriate. So really, they're in charge in the end and they want to make sure it's consistent with the game. Now, there are things that will cause Loom to send you a regretful message saying we can't use your background. That is, if it's got a backstory that contradicts the lore of the game. Like, my grandfather helped Aaron Bennis win the Obsidian Wars. Well, he couldn't possibly have. Okay. If you've got thinly disguised advertisements for your player, own town or guild. No, we're not going to allow that, unfortunately. If you've got references to races or major events that don't appear in game. Like, my mother was an orc. Well, we don't have orcs in the game. So, sorry, we probably won't be able to use that. Or a name that's an obvious reference to a real person, a popular fictional character, or a historical figure. So, even though you might be tempted, no references to real-life people, however much you might want to either venerate them, or abuse them, or poke fun of them, these have to be fictional and consistent with the game. Okay, it's currently for the Central District of Brittany only. We'll be opening all of Brittany for NPC placement in stages. So, yeah, you've got, wow, you've got Brittany Wharves, you've got the Outer Brittany, you got the graveyard. I don't know how many people are in the graveyard. Live ones, that is. A lot of dead people, apparently. It's a very quiet area. Okay, we've got a lot of people around the place. So, as Central Brittany is so large, if you'd like to know in which district the NPC is in, that'd help. That'd be fantastic. Note that if all the NPCs in that area are taken, we'll let you know. Also, not all NPCs listed appear in all districts. So please ensure a given NPC is in a district chosen if you want one to avoid your selection being turned down. So the districts of Brittany are the south, that's near the alleys and near the fields. You've got the docks. You've got northeast, which is near the wharfs, near the estates. You've got the castle. And you've got north. That's north is near the graveyard. The NPCs for Brittany should be human only, please. So we haven't quite allowed kobolds and elves into Brittany yet. So, if you're still following along, and if you want to contribute, they will need 48 guards. That's a lot of guards, people. 3 nobles, 31 citizens or travellers, 1 guild registrar, 1 banker, 2 public vendors, 2 combat trainers, 2 bakers, 1 butcher, 2 fishermen, 5 farming supplies salespersons, 2 weapons salespersons, 2 housing decorations salespersons, 1 housing deeds salesperson, and 1 tavern keeper. So there you are, that's a pretty good list. If you want to have your namesake be a resident, give them a private message on the forum, including the NPC's name, gender, first and second choice of profession, and the district where they should appear, that's optional, and a bit of a background, a paragraph or so about how they got there, what their life story is, and as they say, they are free to amend or reject that if they need to. And specify that it's for Central Brittany. They will respond if it's used, if it's not used, if it's missed the cut, whatever. And thank you for your support, and the Lady Arabella welcomes you to Brittany. I had a wonderful conversation with Lady Arabella the other day. She's an interesting person, as you will know, as you will find out if you get to speak to her. Okay, next item, Portalarium is hiring, is still hiring. Come on, there's got to be somebody out there. Please, do it. They need a web developer. And we've rattled on about this for a few weeks, but I hope that somebody's listening. You need to be pretty qualified. Minimum 5 years experience. Experience in lots of things, basically. And things that only a web developer would understand. So I won't bore you with all of that, but if you've got extensive abilities and a lot of things and you can work in this sort of environment, it's a pretty friendly team by the sound of it. They sound like a fantastic lot. If you're interested, if you know of anybody who might be, get them to submit their resume to jobs@portalerium.com and they will love you forever. Okay, there is a weekend flash sale. If you were looking for a home or lot deed, they're 20% off this weekend. Fantastic. Almost any lot deed you can imagine. And trust me, there's an awful lot to go through here. Wow. I don't even know how many there are. That's a huge list. Deeds and homes of almost any description. If you've been saving up your pennies or your gold crowns or whatever, and you're looking for a house and a plot of land to put it on, this is your weekend. They're 20% off. Rush along to the add-on store and make your purchase now, because hey, they'd love the support of the game. You will love having a house to live in, and everybody wins. And talking about everybody winning, they've just had the, well, it's not a post-mortem anymore, it's a live stream. And as I speak, it's just finished a little while ago. The last time I looked in, they were up over $91,000, which is absolutely amazing. I am not sure what the final total was, but it just tells me that if you throw out a challenge to this community, they will respond in spades. And I think it's a wonderful community. Very, very generous, very excited, very supporting. And I think the developers love it because they know that the community is behind them all the way. The community love it because we get lots of digital goodies and fun things. And it helps the game to prosper and grow and develop. So fantastic and well done to everybody who contributed, who bought stuff during the live stream and continues to support this fabulous game. Okay, there is an upcoming events calendar. And here we are. So yes, as they mentioned, on May the 7th, credits will be converted to crowns. May 31, we got release 54 coming up, and followed by the live stream on June the 4th. June the 28th is release 55. July the 6th is an R55 live stream, also celebrating Lord British's birthday. Now, something tells me there's going to be something special on that day. I can't imagine why, but I think there will. July 26 is released 56. August 10 to 11 is SyndCon. August 21 to 25 is Gamescom. August 30 is released 57. August 30 to September 3 is DragonCon. Now, the folk I met at the convention last weekend said that if I ever went to anything, it should be DragonCon. And so I sort of took that under advisement. I put it away in a little slot in the back of my mind. And I said, right, if the opportunity ever does arise, yes, I will go. Don't know how or when, but a bit of a distance, but sounds like a good thing to do. September 27 is release 58. October 11 to 13 is SOTACON in Austin. October 25 is release 59, November 15 is release 60, and December 13 is release 61, so it's just going to keep on happening. And we'll have more stuff in every release. The next item is the community live stream that happened last weekend about hospitalers and ambassadors. Kicked off the show with a presentation by a design team of the new houses that went into the game in Release 53. And after a tour of the new homes, had two community exclusive features for you. The first is a visit to Port Lairn by community member Ravelox, who will be on the show, or who was on the show, yeah, to talk about hospitalers and new players. Then we had on the show via remote connection our community ambassadors. So the question is, who are the hospitalers? They offer assistance to any player who has questions in the game, forum, in the game, in forums, in Discord, and other community areas. Any player in return can also wear the hospitaler title. That is a title that's found in game. And you can offer assistance to other community members. So the question is then, who are the ambassadors? Well, they're community members that lead a particular group of players from an international community. We've got to remember, this is an international game now. And we've got people from all over the world whose language is totally other than English. And it's nice to have them supported if they have any questions they want to ask. They can ask in their own forum, and they'll have people who actually understand them, which is wonderful, and people who can support them, and an ambassador that they can go to and look after their interests and help liaise with Port Lairn. They're volunteer only. They work to answer questions in their specific language from other players that only speak that language. And you can find them in the forums. There you go. And for more live streams and gameplay videos, be sure to subscribe to youtube.com/portalerium. So there you go. They put all their stuff up on YouTube, and you can run through it anytime you like. Okay. Next item, there is an event, the Charge of the Dragons. We saw this coming. It was built up in the forums. It was quite exciting, actually, because first of all, they said something is coming. And that just helps to generate the tension and the intrigue and the mystery and the excitement. And everybody was wildly speculating about what it was. And then it was finally confirmed, yes, there will be dragons. Exciting stuff. And dragons will be attacking towns. The message is, avatars, our fears have been confirmed. The meteor that recently struck Quell has destroyed an undiscovered dragon lair and awakened dozens of savage creatures that have been sleeping for centuries. Arisen from their deep sleep, enraged by the devastation of their lair, they have taken to the sky and are setting off for human cities. The Charge of the Dragons is about to begin. The description of it? The dragons will unleash their wrath upon humans during the next days. They will attack some of the cities in Novia. The avatars must gather and defend their homeland. After the battle, we will reward the avatars who come up with the most fascinating dragon-themed screenshots and videos. Awesome. And they even have a schedule. It'll take place. I mean, very, very kind and thoughtful dragons. These are not your regular savage dragons. They let you know in advance when they're coming, which is nice. Okay, now to kick off is after the monthly community live stream, which is Friday, May the 4th at 7:30, which of course has already happened. And I've seen some screenshots in the forum already, and they looked absolutely awesome. I think a lot of fun was had. So 7:30 p.m. Central, okay. The next one is on Monday, May the 7th at 2 p.m. Central at a city to be revealed. After that, there's one on Wednesday, May the 9th at 7 p.m. Central. And again, the city is to be revealed. And the final attack is on Saturday, May the 11th at 2 p.m. Central. And again, they haven't told us where the city is yet. So three more attacks are coming. So stay tuned, because dragons are going to continue to attack. For the best screenshots posted up until Thursday, May the 17th, in the thread about the event, they're going to give away 5 lots of 19 Kotos. Nice. For the most impressive videos, we'll give away a stone dragon statue, town size, and 2 topiary village dragon statues. Wonderful. And if you look at the forum post that is advertising this event, I love the introduction that they generated to get our interest into this. A drop of sweat dripped onto the parchment where Merrim the Bard had just recorded his diary entry. At the time, he did not know it would be his last. The devastated lair, those scales, the reptilian bones of which some were still glowing, the traces of wrath all around him, he followed the giant footprints heading northeast. He knew he should head home, back to Brittany, and report what he had discovered, but his curiosity prevailed, and so he followed the traces, even though the sun had already set. He started shivering when he suddenly noticed a gentle but lofty growl just a few steps behind him. Red, glowing eyes were the last thing he saw. The only thing that remained of Merrim was half a diary page. Whoa. Okay, so if you would like to pit yourself against a dragon, hopefully with the company of others, take note of the timetable and be there. That sounds like a lot of fun. Okay, there is an event which is community-led. It is Paxley's Campfire Stories Volume 2. And the invitation is, come to our sleepover at the Paxlayer campsite. Now the date is May the 4th at 8 p.m. Central. So that will quite probably have happened by the time you hear this. That's a bit of a shame, but hey, it's worth talking about anyway. It's in the Paxlayer Castle grounds. You arrive at the dock, go to the signpost, choose boundary number 1, head down the hill, make a hard right, follow the road, the lot is on the left, across from the tavern building. The dance music will be provided by Amateur's Radio DJ. And gather around the campfire. The first portion of our event will be stories based on this month's theme. The theme is, what is your post-cataclysm story? Now, DJ Alain Dragonfire will be reading stories on air. And that's awesome. To have it read, to have your story read, it has to be submitted no later than Thursday noon Central, April 25th, 2018. Well, okay, that's sort of been and gone. But hey, I all had a wonderful time. That's fantastic. Alrighty, did you know Shroud of the Avatar has greenhouses? Yes, it does. And apparently greenhouses are great. Not only do they look great, but if you put crops up on the top floor, they grow faster. And that's brilliant. This is Elgarian from Soto Help with a regular Did You Know feature. Expect to see these posted regularly on community channels and here in the weekly update. Did you know Shroud of the Avatar features greenhouses which greatly enhance agriculture? There are craftable versions of these beautiful structures. Check out Soto Law's Farming Planner. And we'll be rotating these Did You Knows with Getting Started videos and other related posts. If you have a tip to share, please send them to Beric. And yeah, some of those greenhouses, even the craftable ones, look really nice. Okay, there is a recommended project to support. It is Underworld Ascendant. Now that's been under development for quite a while, as has Shroud. And they say here, we've been following the development of Underworld Ascendant for a while now. ever since it appeared on Kickstarter. New updates have been posted as the game approaches a launch in the second half of 2018. So, two great games being launched this year. That's awesome. Underworld Ascendant is the next generation follow-up to Ultima Underworld, the critically acclaimed series crediting with creating the immersive sim genre and influencing such game series as BioShock, Deus Ex, Dishonored, Elder Scrolls, and even Minecraft. Other Side Entertainment, which includes original creators of the Ultima Underworld series, is innovating upon the series' signature player-authored gameplay in bold new ways. It will be published on Steam for PC. You can wishlist the game now if you go to the Steam store. Great, so do that. Finally, resources, players helping players, the official new player welcome forum and the player created resources forum. They have the best content created by players and for players. There's links to them there in the little newscast, in the newsletter. They have written guides, they have video walkthroughs, and they have wiki type websites. And there have been more than one occasion when I've been totally bamboozled and I haven't known where to go or what to do. So look up some resources, look up the forum, look up hints, look up the wiki. Somebody else has been there and done it before you. And they say, yeah, this is how you do it. You just do this, press this button, go through that door, turn that corner, click on this, and you're there. And you think, oh, damn, why didn't I see that? So, it can be a frustrating game at times, but there is such a satisfaction, or a sense of satisfaction, when you finally figure it out, and you finally conquer the devious puzzles and tricks and traps that they've put in there for us. So, if you need help, that's where you go. And there's a community resources page for a complete listing of all things community. Okay, well, I think that's about all the news of the week. As I said, a great week this week. Lots of stuff, lots of new stuff to see in the game, which is wonderful. Overall, I think the game is performing well, and it seems to be flowing fairly smoothly. I know that there are a lot of people who say they're not able to log in at times, they're getting disconnected, they're crashing. I don't know anything about that. I mean, I know that it exists, I acknowledge it. I'm sure the devs are scratching their heads and working out what's going on and how to optimize things and make things better for everybody. So, yeah, until next week, we might as well sign off. Wish you all another great week in the game. Enjoy yourselves. Explore lots. Quest and craft lots, and basically have fun. Try not to die too much, and we'll catch you next week. So I'll take us out. The wonderful background music for this podcast is by Stephen J. Goldman. The song is entitled Dark Planet. Also thanks to Sir Style Tekel for the technical work on the newscast. Thanks to Amber Rain for broadcasting it on Avatars Radio. Don't forget, Avatars Radio needs your support to keep the magic of this podcast, events, and music going. Visit their page at avatarsradio.info and click on the Patreon link. So this is Asclepius signing off until next week with Echoes from the Caverns.